Welcome back to Spillin' the Tea.
We're just two old Southern gals on a wide, warm porch. Only our town gossip is the whole pop culture world.
Expect chart-topping country chatter, Hollywood hush-hush, bizarre history, cult curiosities, and true crime that'll raise your goosebumps.
Top off your glass.
And bless their hearts.
Because we're going there.
Well, you know it all came to be. Liz and we met at the Opry. They got the scoop on Nashville, Tennessee. Now they're just spilling the tea. And now they're just spilling the tea.
Well, hello, hello.
Howdy.
We are here today, and we are doing a very fun two-episode series, we're going to call it. But we're going to do an episode all about Whitney today.
Leo and me is just dying.
You're radiating, honey. You're radiating. And then later down the line, we'll do an episode about me. And it's really just because, as the listeners, we don't really feel like y'all get to really know about us. Like, we're always talking about other things. So you know a little bit about us just from listening to us yap on, but this is really for you to get to know us, and I just think it was a fun idea. So we're with Whitney Marie Merritt today.
It's so weird to be on this side of an interview.
Is it?
I feel like I've in my past, I've interviewed a lot of different people, and it's like different.
Well, I hope I can do you proud. I hope I'm a good interviewer. But we're going to start off. I would just love for you to tell us about you, like what's your trajectory, where you were born, now here we are. So go for it.
So my name is Whitney Marie Merritt, and I was born in Owensboro, Kentucky. That's spelled Owensboro, but you say Owensboro. And it is the... It was growing up the barbecue capital of the world, but a lot of different cities claim that. And now our water tower says the bluegrass capital of the world. So very much a musical area. The bluegrass museum's there. Bill Monroe's from the area, county over. So grew up in a musical town. And then additionally, I grew up with a very musical family. My dad is part of 14 kids. He was the fiddle player, but he can pick up any instrument and really play it. So I grew up, he would teach us about, like, we listen to music all the time. And instead of just listening to a song, he would go into like the songwriters of the song. We would look at the vinyls or the cassettes, not just looking at like idolizing the singer, but looking at who the musicians were. My dad can tell you the studio musicians on a song.
Oh, wow.
Like, he knows the fiddle players of songs. So yeah, I really had an appreciation for music for a long time. And my mom, who's not musical at all, she gave me a different side. So like, my dad was country, bluegrass, soft 70s rock. My mom loves like AC/DC, Reba McEntire. Like, I grew up, because of her, she loved Reba McEntire so much. And we've actually gotten to see Reba together a few times. That's always so special because we just love Reba McEntire. So music is a big part of who I am. And every part of me loves music and songwriting and all that. So I grew up with a little sister. I call her little. She's 2 years younger than me. And people crack up when I say little. But yeah, she's my little sister. Named Helen. She is not little anymore. She's married. She's a married woman.
That's right.
And she's married to an old Brit named Alex. We love him. My older brother, Josh, is a musician full-time. He's a country Americana musician. And he has a fiance named Amanda, and they have Journey, Imran, and Amaya, who are my nieces.
Sweet.
Yeah. So anyway, growing up, my dad would take us on vacations, and that vacation was coming down to Nashville. So he could play fiddle in bars, and me and my little sister would sit outside with my mom while we waited for him to play, get on stage and play. And I would just look around and be like, I want to live here one day. Yeah. And I made it happen. So yeah, I'm back in Nashville. There's been some back and forth there, but music, Nashville country music is my jam.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you're here. And then we met because we worked at the Grand Ole Opry together in the Opry
the
shop.
The fact that I've worked at the Grand Ole, like that's still to me. Yeah. I talk shit about it sometimes, but it's still a big deal.
It was honestly, like, yes, we talk crap about it, but it was such a good time.
Yeah, it was such a, I've had so many full circle moments, and I feel like I'm I'm going to have more full circle moments hopefully in the future. But like, just like my life, sometimes I'm like, how did this work out for me like that?
Yeah.
But yeah, Grand Ole Opry was amazing.
Okay, so you've talked about where you're from and now you're here. So who did you think that you would be at this age versus who you actually are?
Well, I thought I was going to be a touring musician that had a perfume line and a dress line and had a reality TV show and tons of albums out and was a cute country music country music CMA award winner. I'm not too far. I mean, I'm very much far off from that, but I'm saying like I'm still in the music industry in a way. The Fat Letty ain't sang yet.
we're on the pod.
Yeah. So
I do think we would make great reality TV, though.
Oh, I think that's like, oh my gosh, sorry. You know, me and Liz are obsessed with Bravo. one day I will have a reality TV show. And I think that me and her were built for reality TV. Can you imagine the looks we would give at a dinner table on a trip?
Girl,
for
literally.
Real Housewives?
Yeah.
But, so.
100%.
You never know. It could still happen, and I'm still hoping it will.
If we were on reality TV, you know how they always send people on a trip, where would you want us to go?
Somewhere interesting.
I love Vegas. I always think Vegas would be a good
time. I think
our
New Orleans trip should have been taped. So I'll say New Orleans.
Dude, okay, we really have to break down the New Orleans trip sometime.
We do. It's just like they pan to you, you're all happy going into the Death Museum, and then they pan over to me sitting in a cafe, like waiting for y'all.
And then us hobbling to that freaking marijuana truck that we bought stuff. And there was nothing in those things. Total scam. Okay, so what part of your personality do you think people misunderstand the most?
So I'm a very giggly girl. And ever since I was little, like somebody will like accuse me of something and I'll just start laughing because it's not because I'm guilty. It's just that I don't know. I'm always like that. Like somebody will ask me something. And I'm like, no. And I'll start giggling. And they're like, I'm like, no, I swear. I'm just laughing at being accused. But then also like when I'm in an intense situation, it can come off defensive, but really I'm just like very passionate. I'm like, I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. And in any situation, if I'm telling a story, I go in real in depth and it really is not necessary, but I just want to make sure you understand every situation from every angle, why I did this, why I did that, long-winded, you know how long-winded I am.
But, yeah, but I love it because I do get every angle. we all have significant events that shape who we are. So what are three significant events?
Let me get out my notes. I should have them on hand, but let me remember. Okay. I was born in Owensboro, Kentucky, which is Western Kentucky. Very bluegrass, flatlands, farming, that side of it. But then when I was six, we moved to Somerset, Kentucky, which is more in the foothills of Kentucky, Appalachia, Ewens. That's how you say Ewens, blue and white, fat, mountainy people. Like, so I've seen both sides of Kentucky and there's just like charm on both sides of it. And, you know, there's on the eastern side of Kentucky, so many great Kentucky musicians came from that side of it. So like mountain music. But then there's the bluegrass side that I have in me. So like, I just feel like it's the perfect combination for, if you're going to create music and in knowing country, I know everything relates to music, but I'm just saying like, I've gotten to experience both sides of great music that comes from the bluegrass state. And what else? So this is kind of like sad. I don't mean to bring down the mood, but when I was 7 years old, my best friend was in a plane crash. And I was eight. So like seven was 9/11. The next year, my best friend was in a plane crash, and I was supposed to be on that plane. So her dad worked in Chicago, and they were flying up there to go see the American Girl Doll Museum in Chicago.
Oh, my gosh.
And my parents had never been on a plane before themselves, so they didn't feel right sending me on a plane alone. So I wasn't allowed to go on the trip. Anyway, I was woken up in the middle of the night. There was a private jet that crashed into a mountain in eastern Kentucky, and it was my best friend and her brothers and her mom. The two pilots died, and my best friend's, she was a triplet. One of her brothers died. Ryan died. So, like, this, from 8 years old, I've known how, like, tragic and sudden life can be. So I tried to, like, take in things, like, really let people know how much I appreciate them. And how life is real short, and like the thing that you think will never happen to you can. So,
that's crazy. I never knew about that about you.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. Did your best friend survive that?
Yes. She,
holy cow.
Yeah. So she's married now with a kid. Yeah. Ryan was one of my best friends too. Yeah. And the weird thing is my sister had a dream the night before that. So there was Marley, Cole, and Ryan, the triplets. My sister had a dream that Cole died, but it wasn't in like a plane crash. I don't think there was a plane crash involved. She just had a dream that Cole died. The next day, this all happens, and it was Ryan. We zoomed to the hospital. I remember that night we zoomed to the hospital just to check on everybody. It was chaos. I didn't get to see my friend for like months as she was healing in the hospital. Another side note, I was known for wearing these black knee-high boots. Mm-hmm. my friend lived in a subdivision. We would take a skateboard and we would sit on it and ride down the hill, and I would always stop it with my boots. Mm-hmm. I got her a pair for her birthday, and that's how she got out of the plane. She kicked the window out
with
her boots.
I just got chills.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, those freaking magical boots.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
So yeah, that was a big part of my life. And there's just something about planes with me. Like Patsy Cline was in a plane crash, went through 9/11, that Reba McEntire, just like, I just have this thing about planes. I don't know. I just kind of get weary about them sometimes, but
wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely gives a better insight.
My first plane ride was when I was 18 years old to New York to try out for The Voice. So,
oh my gosh. Okay. Hold on. Let's talk about you trying out for The Voice.
Yeah. So I've tried out 3 times for The Voice, one time for American Idol, one time for X Factor. I've went all over the country doing these interviews. The best one was I traveled to Denver, Colorado, tried out for X Factor, which is like Simon Cowell's, what One Direction was on, all that. Mm-hmm. I made it through. I got the golden ticket. It was the most magical time of my life. I came out of the tent because they have you in like a stadium. And I was down in the tent. The judges went crazy about my voice. And I might cry at this, but because my parents have dreamed along with me about becoming a singer, I walked out of the tent. And it was so nice to stand there. My mom was sitting in the crowd, and I got to wave my golden ticket at her.
Oh,
it was so good. But yeah, it was cool.
Okay, so you know this about me, but I am absolutely obsessed with all things behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So when you get your golden ticket, what's the next step for these people?
So when the first round, you're going into producers. So I got through the first round, then I got to go to the second round in front of the producers again. I didn't make it through that. Mm-hmm. And I think now I was so shy and I didn't want to put myself out there. I think they want to see a lot more personality, and I think now I would know that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you go through so many phases with the producers, and then you'll get put in front of. But yeah, I was sick to my stomach that whole night because I had to wait till the next day to come back to do the second audition. And I was so sick. I rode down in a taxi by myself, waited in line, all of this.
Were you ever on TV?
There was like shots of me in the line waiting to go in.
No
stuff,
way.
But yeah.
Okay. So I don't say this as your best friend. I say it as a listener that I think your voice is incredible.
Oh,
and I cannot believe you've tried out for all these shows and they have not like put you through these final rounds. That's crazy to me. So
I have to think, and this has been a theme, like even with like county talent shows, yes, now like I can dress up and I'm girly, all this stuff. But at the time I didn't care. I was like, my voice is good enough. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. But when you're against somebody that looks like a Taylor Swift or a mm-hmm. Carrie Underwood, it's always going to be
them.
Yeah. And I think putting yourself out there, like people that are like really obnoxious get, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of timid. I think that puts me.
Well, not anymore. Maybe if we're, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so did you ever feel any sort of pressure to like perform from being in a heavily talented family?
So, no and yes. So, it was just ingrained in me from like childhood. Like my mom says that I would be in the back seat, like in my car seat as a little kid, just like making up songs and things. One time I made up a song about my great great grandma and how she was in the clouds and all this stuff. And I was literally like 4 or 5. But when you're around music all the time, there wasn't a time that my dad wasn't playing music, writing a song, playing his guitar. Our house was always chaotic like that. And he would sing a song like, Whitney likes to clap her hands, Whitney likes to clap her mm-hmm. hands, she claps her hand, da, 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 all the time. So just like writing music and everything was like ingrained. And then I think I just had this natural desire to want to perform all the time. But then comes along with that is like, because people know this about you, any party you go to, you're put on the spot to play. Even if you don't feel like it that day, and you say, oh, I don't feel good today or something. They're like, no, come on. We want to hear you like get up there, do it. So you're like, kind of like, sometimes you do feel like a puppet. Mm-hmm. And that sounds so like, I don't want it to come off diva-ish, but it's just like, if people know that you've got some talent, then like, yeah. No matter what, you
dance,
need to perform.
Dance, monkey, dance. Yeah.
It happens a lot, especially with my brother. He gets that a lot. And he, like, that's his job.
Yeah.
So, like, when he's just, like, wants to chill and be part of the family, he wants that. So, you know, he's off work. He doesn't want to perform. And sometimes, it just depends on the day. Sometimes you do want to be asked to perform. Sometimes you don't. And it's hard when people take offense to you saying no. Me and my siblings do find, though, that it's just something within us, and it's weird because we're all the same personality type, ENFP, I believe. Mm. My sister may be different, but I believe me, my brother, and my dad are all ENFPs. And when I was at Belmont and we did the Myers-Briggs test, a lot of people in my class were also ENFPs, and I think it's part of being an entertainer. I'm not sure. But I have this, and my brother for sure has said this, that if there's an awkward situation or there's a moment of silence, we either feel that it's our job to create some kind of performance in that time or make a joke or make somebody laugh. If somebody has pressure on them or it feels awkward, we want to alleviate that from them and put that on ourselves. Mm-hmm. So like growing up or like being in high school, if there was something going on, I would drop to the floor to my knees, roll around just to make somebody laugh or something.
Yeah.
I was just always wanted to be an entertainer in that way. And my RA's kind of got in the way of like that side of myself, but I don't know.
I was very much the same way. I broke my foot performing for my dad at his birthday party.
Oh my gosh.
Because my sister, her friend, and I all put on this act. Like I was always doing something much like you. And my sister went down to tie her shoe, and her friend's name was Jackie, and Jackie was holding me. And the whole shtick was I was like this feather weighted girl, right? Mm-hmm. So they would toss me back and forth. So Jackie was supposed to throw me to Laura, but Laura's tying her shoe, and she said, don't throw. Jackie did not hear her, even though my sister's on the floor tying her shoe, throws me. Laura doesn't catch me, and I broke my foot in 3 places.
Oh, my gosh.
It was awful, and I was such a dramatic kid. That's why we love each other so much. And my mom goes, honey, just relax. Like, stop being so dramatic. And then I woke up in the morning with this huge black and blue foot. My mom felt the like tiny, gosh. Poor thing. Anyway, so I get it.
Yeah. You may relate to this too. I remember I was like maybe 8 or 9 and my mom said, you're being a drama queen.
Yep.
Instead of taking offense to that, I was like, I'm a drama queen. Like, I love it.
You literally, if there was a movie I had to pick from a shelf that describes who I think you were as a kid, it was teenage what is it? The Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, little Lindsay Lohan.
Yes, for sure.
What was her name in the movie? Ella.
What was it?
Something like that.
Yeah, what was it?
I thought it was Elle or Ellie or... Because it was like Cinderella. I don't know.
Maybe Liza.
Liza.
Because it was off of My Fair Lady.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so you mentioned Belmont. Mm-hmm. So you wanted to be this performer and you're very musically inclined. What made you want to study music business?
Well, I didn't.
Okay.
I did, but I didn't. So I went to Belmont as a means to get money to move to Nashville. Because it's harder to get a loan, just to get a loan, but to get a student loan to mm-hmm. have a place to live and kind of be in. I wanted to learn too, but to me, it was just it was an excuse to get to Nashville.
Oh,
and then I kind of realized, like, hey, like this is, you know, if I'm not a performer myself, I don't want to do any other business than this. And like I said, my dad taught us to look at songwriters on albums and all of that. And that's when I love publishing, music publishing. And yeah, so I worked for a music publisher as an intern. And that was a full circle moment when I got that, because I had applied for this publishing house like in December. I completely forgot about it. They never called me back until the summertime. And I kind of forgot who they were, like didn't really look at it. And I walk into the office to do the interview, and it's all the musicians I grew up with who like helped me kind of make my voice. So like the Dixie Chicks, mm-hmm. the Chicks, mm-hmm. Leanne Womack, mm-hmm. all of these, the Judds, all of these people I admired. And I remember leaving and I was like, this is a God moment, because I completely forgot about this, like didn't even realize what it was. And this is the internship that I get. And I was struggling to find an internship. The one I had before was awful. And I was thinking I was going to have to go back to them. Mm-hmm. And this one slid in there and it was like a perfect fit. Mm. It was a God moment. And I remember just thinking, God, this is a sign that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And yeah, it was amazing.
What's even crazier is while we were working at the Grand Ole Opry together, you were still in school. Mm-hmm. You were doing this internship and you worked at the Grand Ole Opry. So you would like come straight from your internship.
Yeah.
Nuts.
I've lived a crazy life.
You're just a hustler, baby. You just get it done. So what are you most proud of that no one really sees?
I'm proud of keeping my faith despite everything that I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through some moments in my life that should have tested my, when they did test my faith with God, but mm-hmm. like something about like, if I didn't have God, then I wouldn't have ever made it through those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one thing that.
That's a great answer. What, being from such a talented family, what scares you most? Is it failing or is it being misunderstood?
Ooh. It used to be failing, but through my disease and learning, like, life is not going to go how you want it to be, and you can learn a lot through the failures. I think it's being misunderstood. I deeply care about people,
mm-hmm.
like, and that's not me just bragging about. I deeply, deeply care about people that are different from me, people that I disagree with. And so I never want any of my opinions or anything to be something that's misunderstood or judged upon, because I take into consideration a lot of different factors mm-hmm. when I'm making decisions or anything. And I would just want to be heard out if anybody had a complaint, just to hear me. And it bugs me if I'm have like there's been friendships that were based upon me allowing them to treat me a certain way
mm-hmm.
over and over and over again. And then I get to this point, which I've worked on it because it's passive aggressiveness in my past, or like being passive, I guess, not aggressive. I don't know, but I allowed things to happen because I thought that was a characteristic of a good friend and a good Christian and what you needed to do. And so I would just like, I'm going to let that go. And then it got to a point where it was like the disrespect was so loud mm-hmm. and clear mm-hmm. that I couldn't go further. And once I'm done with something, I'm done. I'm like, you know, you've had this chance, and eventually it's like, this is not a mistake on your end. This is a blatant choice
mm-hmm.
in the matter. And I shouldn't have to teach you that this is a wrong choice. I shouldn't have to explain that to you. So in these situations, I feel like there's been times where people have sided with the loudest person in the room because I'm going to walk away in silence. Mm-hmm. And so if someone's ever said anything negatively about me, I would hope the person would come to me and hear me out first.
Yeah.
Sure. Hear my side of things. That kind of bugs me a lot, especially being in Owensboro. I say it's a small town, but it is, it's like got, I don't know how many people it's got now, but anyway, it's not super small, but it, everybody knows everybody's business.
Yeah. It is funny because sometimes, you know, I hear somebody's from Owensboro and I'm like, Whitney, do you know them? And you're like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I thought it was a super small town.
No, it's not. It's not small in that way.
Yeah.
But
people know, like gossip, right?
There's an Alabama lyric that goes, this town's too big. This town's too small. It's a little of both, they say. Mm-hmm. And literally Owensboro, everybody knows everybody's business.
Okay.
And it's growing every single day. But yeah, you know everybody's business.
I will say, when we first started becoming friends, we were opposite ends of the spectrum in the sense that I snip snap people out of my life too easily, right? You let things go on too long. Mm-hmm. I am now, you have influenced me to maybe chill out and hear the other person out first and maybe try to heal certain friendships, right?
Yeah.
That deserve to be healed. Instead of being a little too quick to cut that off. And I hope, I'm not taking credit for what you have learned, but I hope I have influenced you setting your boundaries because you have gotten so good at that. And I am so proud of you for not taking people's shit anymore because some people don't. Listen, I'm not a Swiftie, okay, but I love what Taylor Swift said on New Heights podcast where she said you need to think of your energy like a luxury item. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can afford it.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's so freaking good with words, dude. It's so true.
Not to be a cheese ball, but I think you have taught me that, but also you've shown me what a true friendship is. So when somebody shows me anything less than that, I'm like, like for so long I accepted like this is what friendship is. This is what friendship is. You have to make these sacrifices. You have to let go of things or you're not going to have friendship. And that's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So once you realize like there's something good out there, you're not going to accept anything less.
Yeah. And like for our listeners, don't get us wrong, right? Like we have definitely confronted each other on certain things, right? But we've talked them through, worked them out, and we've never fought. But I definitely feel like you're a safe space for me to voice my concerns or my hurt or what, not that you've ever hurt me, but you know what I mean?
And we have different personalities. Like we're the same in different ways, but I know that Liz, my ADHD-ness, always wanting to do a different, I know that can send you into a spiral. It sends me into a spiral.
I've now gotten comfortable enough because Whitney has taken it very gracefully where I'm like, let's not do that.
Let's redirect.
Yeah, like let's slow down just a tad because I know you well enough to know that you'll give that up in like 10 days.
Yeah, so like this week alone, I've had the thought to go to school to be a teacher. I've
Not that I don't think you'd be a good one, but that's so random, but okay.
Then I'm like, no, I need to go to be a nurse. No, I'm not cleaning up shit. I'm sorry.
No. And you couldn't be on your feet all that time. You think you're going to work a 24-hour shift? Silly
goose.
I just
always am thinking of ways to be better and do better and go to the next level. It's constant.
See, and I think that is something that people misunderstand about you too, where it may come across as you're never happy with yourself, but really you're just trying to find out ways to just progress and be better, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about us, friendship specific. So, what was your first honest impression of me?
Oh, so first impression, like from afar, like not personally. So I was on stage at the Opry and I don't know if I've ever told you this. I was working cameras.
Okay.
And I was there in front of the circle and they were getting sound check started and Jeff was standing there in front of me. And he was like checking it. And I was just curious of the way of the world and what was going on. And so I was like kind of staring at him while he was going through the process. Mm-hmm. And then I look over side stage and I see you. And I was like, oh, shoot, they date, I think. I hope she doesn't think that I'm like checking him out or something.
No, girl, I wouldn't have even cared anyway.
But no, my first impression of you were, you were a fun gal. You were always like dancing, being goofy backstage. And I was like, and honestly, I was jealous because I always wanted, I thought the tour guides were the elite group. Mm-hmm. It was like the, not the Regina George, but when they walked through, it was like, hey, what's happening?
We freaking
happening?
Acted you know? Like it.
And yeah, so there was that like from far away, but then you came in the shop and my first impression was like, this biatch is getting stuff done. You were zooming around that shop folding. I was like, why is the tour guide girl in here folding?
I was so stoked to not be under the leadership of Laura Lee anymore.
Yeah. But no, I think what like off the bat, I was like, this is a boss, like you're a boss mm-hmm. babe. And I got to know you and through the years, I've realized like, yeah, you're a boss, but you have like a gentle soul and you're just real sweet and you care about people so extremely. And you always go the extra mile with like thinking things through for me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My first impression of you was I saw you and Morgan cutting up.
Always. Okay?
And y'all just look like some good, fun time gals, okay? Like Heather from Salt Lake City said, a good time gal.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to be friends with them. Mm-hmm. Like they look fun and cool and confident and they don't care because here's something. A lot of the tour guides at the Grand Ole Opry at night were called ambassadors. And Whitney's not wrong. We walk around that whole building as if we are Regina George. And when I was removed from that headspace mm-hmm. and I got into the Opry shop, it pissed me off how those ambassadors were acting. It truly did. And I was like, girl, you were no better about 5 months ago.
Break room, you would walk in the break room and it was all ambassadors. And you had to squeeze your butt cheeks through to get in. Like they weren't going to move.
Dude, it was so clicky. Okay. It was truly the cafeteria scene from Mean Girls where Janice Wieners goes through, not Wieners, Janice.
Ian.
Thank you. Ian. She goes through and she's like, the losers and the popular girls and da 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 da. It's truly that. Why those old bitty ladies? The ushers didn't smack us upside the head and tell us to behave. I don't know. They need to. But yeah, when I was removed from that, but being in that headspace, they cared so much about how they were perceived. Mm-hmm. And you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to look this way, da 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 da. And you and Morgan just looked so fun and free.
I think the thing with me and Morgan is we follow that. I don't know if it was, it may be Lucille Ball or, she was on SNL. I can't think. What's her name? Anyway, like, to be funny, you have to have the ability to look stupid. Mm-hmm. And that's something about me and Morgan is we're going to cut a joke no matter how we look.
See, and that's the true me. Like, y'all know me as that. So when I wasn't allowed to be myself, I was like, yeah, I went out of this. But so that was my first impression of you, that you just looked so fun. Aww. And like you knew what you were doing. When did you realize that we were like actually going to be best friends?
Oh my gosh. I think, and it's a simple answer. I came over to your house, when you lived at Piccadilly Circus or whatever.
God. Yeah, it was a circus.
And you had made it like nobody else ever takes in consideration, like some of my dietary mm-hmm. stuff, but you like made your meal in order so that I could eat along with you. Mm-hmm. And that was like, I was like, that is such a sweet thing. Like no one's ever done that for me mm-hmm. before. And then just also my birthday, I knew it before then, but like for sure my birthday where I got my heart broken mm-hmm. for sure. I was also going through my RA diagnosis that time. Mm-hmm. Well, I was almost there, but
yeah, girl, I made you that gluten-free cake.
Yes.
That's when you hockey-pucked that cockroach out of your house.
We went to Texas Roadhouse, first of all.
Amazing. Rolls. We freaking love them rolls. Nail clicking.
You
worthy.
Made me a cake.
Yep.
You didn't judge me for my cockroach hockey puck.
No, dude. I was so impressed. I honestly, like, in the most platonic way, that was the sexiest thing I've ever seen. Because I hate a cockroach. Oh my God. And to know that you were equally as grossed out.
I was like,
because I hate them, but like we can't prevent them. So I didn't judge you for like having one.
Here's
like,
the thing
crawl.
About, so it's in Hendersonville and it's this like community that's like back and there's all these trees and stuff. But part of it is I didn't have a washer and dryer on site. Mm-hmm. And so like the pipes that we would hook up were just open. And
oh,
so
yeah.
I think there was just a lot of opportunity for bugs to come in, but it had to choose the day my friends came over.
I know, dude. But yeah, that was such a good time. And then I knew that I cared about you and that I loved you, but the way my involuntary instincts were to punch that guy in the chest in New Orleans for saying something sideways to you. And it wasn't a cat call. He was commenting on the way you were limping because I had dragged your ass all over New Orleans like a bimbo.
No.
And we turned around and he says something sideways to Whitney and I turned around. I didn't even think twice.
I was like,
this guy was huge. And I whipped around so fast and punched that dude square in the chest. I was so pissed. And I gave it all my might. I sure did.
It amazes me. Like, first of all, I loved that moment. That was iconic.
Mm-hmm.
But it amazes me how many comments and looks I got back in those days that I limped.
Oh,
like
I know.
The amount of people, like people would go, "What's wrong with your foot?" And it's like,
let me live.
Do people that are in wheelchairs go around and have people say, "Why are you in a wheelchair?" Like, I really
I
need
know.
To know.
But, I don't know. If our friendship had a warning label.
Oh, gosh.
What do you think it would say? I think it would say, like, caution. Too many subjects ahead.
Yes. I would say, just because me and you can both get our opinions out there, I want to remind y'all that being insulted is a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we're lighthearted, but also we can get on our tangents.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our opinions, so yeah.
For sure. Okay, so I have so many pet peeves. Do you have like one irrational one?
Well, last episode I mentioned how I can't stand how people do all their business on a cell phone.
Oh yeah.
But
I don't think that's irrational.
This is like so minor and it is for a good cause, but ever since COVID, when you get a DoorDash,
mm-hmm.
you get your drink, and they put a freaking sticker where the straw's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Okay? So you got all these freaking stickers all over everything. That pisses me off.
Yeah, and it's probably hard for you to get those off.
Yeah. So I just want to get my Diet Coke Whataburger, okay? And COVID's long gone. If my DoorDash driver wants a Hockaloogie in it, that's none of my business. I'd rather have that than try to get a freaking sticker off and, you know, what am I ingesting?
Destroy your nails. Yeah, that's annoying. That's a good one. That's a good one. What? This is such a shit, but
you
what?
You see right there, there's my Whataburger drink from last night. Do you see the freaking, they put freaking stickers all across the top of it.
I do. Talking about pet peeves, like there's so many things that, and I love you, Mom and Dad, dearly, but a lot of things that they do that drive me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
What is a personality trait that you definitely inherited from your parents? It can be good or bad.
Oh. Well, I'm going to say multiple. Overthinking from my dad. My dad is a chronic overthinker. He's a chronic, like, just goes way into thought process of what people are thinking. I think it's a little bit of OCD. I mm-hmm. do think I have OCD a little bit, and my dad definitely does. Overthinking, and it's the most irrational crap. My mom, I would say loudness.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I was a loud person, but even Dalton the other day, we were at Texas Roadhouse, and he says, "Why are you talking so loud?" And I was like, "I am?"
Girl, I have realized how loud I am, too.
It's like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good.
We're just passionate people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the more passionate or funny or heated we get, the louder we get. What is something you're weirdly good at that doesn't come up very often?
Oh my gosh. Literally, let me start my list. And I'm thinking, what am I good at?
But like people would never expect it.
Oh.
Right? Like,
I feel like I'm a good cook.
Yeah.
Now, am I making like beef Wellington? No, but I can cook some like basic things and I can make them tasty, I think. Mm-hmm. I think my secret is I cook down everything. I like things to be nearly burnt. If other people are eating, I won't do that. Mm-hmm. But I really like if you're cooking vegetables, I need those things to be cooked down. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's my key in why people like my food. Salt. You definitely need to salt things.
Dude, please flavor your stuff.
The bare minimum is salt, but we can add some other stuff in there too. Garlic powder is level two. Then you can get into some Cajun seasoning.
Dude, I use garlic on everything. Yeah. I taught Billy last night the importance of seasonings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very glad you're doing that.
Yes.
What am I good at?
I think those are good.
Okay.
All right. You have mentioned how much Wizard of Oz means to you, that you love it. It's your favorite movie of all time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really curious why it resonates so much with you. Like, why is it your favorite movie?
Yeah. Of course, I'm going to give a cheese ball answer.
I love it.
Here. So I feel like it should resonate with everybody because it's like the perfect symbolism of life. You like, you know, there's this country girl. She's like dreaming of more and she's like wanting to go and her whole life is out in front of her and she goes down this path. She meets these different people and she learns lessons from them along the way. And then she gets to the point of where she is and she realizes, hey, it's not that great. I miss home. Mm-hmm. I took that for granted. So I think it's symbolic of life. But like for me, it's this like country girl and I always thought she had red hair. And for me, symbolism was very important growing up. Little Mermaid, that. So I don't know if she really has red hair. But anyway, I thought she did. And it was also the singing. I love the singing aspect of it. Always big on musicals. Mary Poppins. And I always wanted to be an entertainer of some sort. Country music was just obvious for me. But I also wanted to be like in musicals. I grew up like watching Judy Garland. I love Judy Garland. I love that aspect of it. But I always like the aspect of in this. So if I'm myself, Dorothy, I have my dog. I have my shoes. I meet men that have no brains, no heart, no courage. I meet a few witches down the way.
Uh-huh.
But along it, you're going to learn some lessons. Mm-hmm. And it all works out.
And there's no place like home.
Right.
Right.
And so also I wanted to mention, like, for me, when I listen to the song, there's a song called Where the Green... No. What is it called? Wait a minute. Travis Tritt sings it. There's a Travis Tritt song, and it reminds me of The Wizard of Oz because he's saying, like... I'm thinking of the Tim McGraw song, Where the Green Grass Grows, but it's not that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can find Where Corn Don't Grow?
Where the Corn Don't Grow. Because he's talking about how he wants to be famous and he wants to go off and live this life. And he moves to Nashville in this big city. And he realizes it's like Where the Corn Don't Grow is like where all your lessons are made. And that's where you learn about yourself and everything. Mm-hmm. I can relate anything to country music.
Yeah, you can. You are the best at it. Okay. Would you rather live in the city or the country?
Country.
My parents always asked me this question. I was always a city girl because it was just fast-paced and fun and lights and da-da-da-da. And the older I get, the further from people I want to be.
Yeah. That's a big thing with me is, yes, I want to be successful with my music, but I am just not that type. It doesn't do well with my soul to be in chaotic situations. Mm-hmm. I would want to go on stage, do my stuff, and then go home and, you know, have a family, have a husband, do that side of things. So that's why I like Nashville, because you can do both. But, yeah, it'd be weird to be traveling all the time and be this, like, superstar. I couldn't do that side of things.
Yeah, that's a lot. What are five fun facts about yourself?
Okay. Fun fact is, if I didn't go on the route of like music business, country singer, all that, I would definitely 100% be a cosmetologist right now.
Selling that Mary Kay.
Yeah. I still dream about doing this. Like, if any time I'm around a hairstylist or a makeup artist, I'm like deeply, deeply jealous. Like, so jealous of them. And my RA is the one thing that keeps me from doing that now, because I could still do both. I could work music industry and do cosmetology, like go to school for it. But I don't know. I get scared of like putting in that much effort and that much money, and then it'd be something I can't really do.
Yeah.
So anyway, anytime I'm around those people, and it's not just one of these things I have of like, I want to be a teacher. This is something that I've wanted to do a long time, like a long time. We had a career day in middle school, and we got to go down to talk to different professionals, and I went into the room with a cosmetologist. So, my last name, have I ever told you what my last name means?
No.
So Merritt means little famous one.
Okay.
Which I find crazy.
Yeah.
And then my first name means White Island. So White Island, little famous one. Don't know. I love looking at like meanings of names and things.
White Island. Whitney means White Island.
This is like, it was hard for me to come up with these, but if you don't know, I have 58 first cousins on my dad's side and around 12 or 13, I think, on my mom's side. Big family. My dad's really musical side of the family. My mom, race cars. Like, our family is very much into that. My granddaddy built race cars.
Wow.
They spent Sunday nights at the dirt track and, like, yeah, love that side of it. I love country stuff. Like, did you grow up going to the dirt track and all that?
No.
Oh, I got to take you. It's so redneck. Mm-hmm. You get you some nachos at the stand. That's like some two plywoods put together. You get dirt on you. Yes. Love it.
So, please take me.
Yes. It's fun.
I love the rodeo, like PBR.
Yes. We went to the rodeo growing up. So yeah, during the summer on Sundays, we'll go to dirt tracks. And then there's also like figure eight races, all of that. Mm-hmm. Love it. It's very track. People get in fights. So I'm up there like, what's going on?
Oh, yeah, girl.
You see some stuff. I love it. I love the atmosphere.
We have to go. We have to do interviews there. It would be hilarious.
I sing the national anthem at once.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Then let me think here. I did that one. Okay, so I love historical fiction. I love historical stuff in general, but like historical fiction books.
Okay.
Love those. So if we're going to like read a book, right now I'm not reading a historical fiction, but I love anything about pioneers.
Oh.
Pioneers or like the Spanish influenza or like different stories like that. And I think it comes from, do you remember the Dear America books?
Yeah.
I have one in my closet right now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I love Dear America books. But then also I love period dramas. So like I love movies about like Regency and Queens and all of that.
Rain.
If you have not watched the TV show Rain, it was a CW. It is a story of Mary Queen of Scots, but they make it like more modern. So they're wearing like the dresses they wore then, but they do like neon colors. They have the Lumineers. Oh, the Lumineers.
So good.
The whole soundtrack of the show is the Lumineers doing covers of songs.
Oh, no way.
So they're like dancing to these songs. Oh, my God.
Okay, this will be my next series. I've promised you for years I'll watch it, and I need to watch it.
You will cry. You will. it's so good. But, yeah, I just, like, if I ever did a music video, one of them would be themed. I know for sure one of them would be themed, like, Western. Like, I always saw my song. What is
Like the Wind?
No,
that was a good one.
Not Like the Wind. The one about the cowboy.
Rebel Heart.
I'm so bad at remembering my own damn songs.
Well, I know all of them.
Yeah. But I always saw that one as like a play on Hole's like
yes, girl, kissing Kate Barlow.
Yeah, always thought about that.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
I love that movie. And then I would do another video of like me as a queen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever seen Six?
I want to. It's coming to TPAC.
It sure shit is. Jeff's working it. It's like next. Okay. Okay. I got you.
And then my fifth one is I was featured in a Scholastic magazine as a kid for my drawing of a clown.
What?
Yeah.
You've got to pull that shit up. If anybody sees that,
I don't have a copy of it. I remember.
What?
No, unless it's in our attic, but I remember seeing it. I was like featured. It said Whitney Merritt, age something, something. It had a picture of my clown in it.
Dang. We'll have to find it. Those are very fun facts. You found it hard to find fun facts about yourself?
Yes.
Oh my God. I could literally name 10 about me.
I don't.
Like no. Right here. Okay. It's not so fun. This question's not so fun. What is one of your biggest regrets? Or do you even have any regrets?
Really, I don't. I think every decision you make makes you who you are. But I do regret, and this is real personal.
Okay.
I wanted to wait for marriage.
Okay.
In that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And I waited until I was 25. And I mm-hmm. say this because I don't want any, I feel like people get shamed for waiting so long.
Yeah.
But I want people to know that you can wait that long. I waited till I was 25, and it happened because, and this was kind of mentioned when we went to church a couple weeks ago, Annie Downs mentioned mm-hmm. you can be somebody who thinks you've done everything right and everything should go good for you,
mm-hmm.
And you get upset when it doesn't. That's not true faith. Like, faith is not by works.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was kind of upset with God
mm-hmm.
that, because when I was 25, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid, and I was like, God, why me? I've done everything by the book.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody out here is doing whatever they want and getting everything they want, and here I am suffering. Like, why have I sacrificed so much just to be landed in this situation? So it was a season of being angry. And I don't, one hand, I don't regret it. Two, in my second hand, I do, just because I feel like once it happens, it's like, it just continues to happen that way. I don't feel like you stop. Like, you just continue to go down a certain road mm-hmm. of, I never lost my faith in God, but I would, I wasn't acting very Christianly, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I have regrets about that. And not to say if you're a Christian, you can't, you know, being a Christian is being a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like I should have gotten therapy instead of going down these roads that I did. And I accepted, like, things that I shouldn't have and gone through things that I wish I hadn't.
Yep.
And it all started from that one. It was a butterfly effect of making that one decision.
Yeah.
So I do regret it in some regard.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. So you grew up being around music. You studied music business. Everybody markets themselves, right? Gosh. So everybody has kind of an elevator pitch for why they deserve certain things. So if I was, you know, gonna give you a tour or whatever, what is your elevator pitch for yourself?
Oh gosh, it probably won't be very polished, but I would say, you know, if you want a real country person, I don't ride horses. You know, mm-hmm. I don't hunt, but I'm a down-to-earth, like, I'm a down-to-earth soul who wants to create music for the average person and tell people's stories, like the average person's stories. And I feel like I've done that. I've had mm-hmm. so many people come to me and say they relate to my music. Like, I'm not hating on certain songs, but, like, a lot of country songs are, like, unrealistic,
mm-hmm.
like, killing somebody or, like, you know, some, those are fun sometimes to kind of as a, like, a theatrics and all this stuff, but I love music and songs that tell a story of what somebody else is really going through, because it's therapeutic, mm-hmm. and I always want to do that. That was not an elevator pitch, but we'll go with it.
But here's the thing is, like, a lot of people think, oh, you're from the country, so you are a farmer, or you mm-hmm. like to hunt or whatever. Like, I feel like you're true country, mm-hmm. not like what people, not like society.
And I feel like, and I don't know if this is the right term, girl next door. Like, I take that in the way of I'm down to earth and want to show a real side of myself. I never want to put on a mask of, like, I'm a singer and, like, I don't know. I just always want to be real.
Yeah.
And that's why I love Loretta Lynn. She was always – real in herself, and if she wanted to say something embarrassing, she would. Just like it wasn't necessarily me, what I just said before about outing myself in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is kind of embarrassing, but it's my truth, and somebody else may hear it and resonate with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you believe that that's the version of yourself that you're becoming? Just more like open and truthful, mm-hmm. and
yeah, for sure. I'm not as people. It's a big thing so my word for 2025 was abundance, and I think my word for 2026 is fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that in different ways of like bearing fruit of who like a Christian is like using your talents, mm-hmm. Being fruitful in the way of like, you know, being compassionate for others, and not just in a way of like seeing them and seeing that they need compassion, but actively showing compassion is fruit. And then like also a Christian woman is not somebody that cares about the opinions of others, but cares about the opinion of God. Mm-hmm. So putting my efforts towards that instead of putting my efforts towards pleasing others.
Right. And like doing the actual right thing, not what society thinks is right. What does success actually mean to you right now in this time of life?
Success to me means doing my absolute best to take what God's given me,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, put it into work. Just like I just said, like it's gone. My whole life I was thinking, you know, God's given me this gift. I have to use it. I have to. And in the past years, the pressure of that has come off me, because I'm like, I've got other things I need to worry about. But it's come back to me like, yes, I do have this gift, and I'm 31.
Mm-hmm.
Like life isn't over, but also it's like ticking away.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the terms of music, I don't necessarily want to be have to be a star or anything, but I do want my music to be out there and heard on a grander scale. So I plan to record this year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do a Christmas album too, or Christmas song, Christmas album. But I also, I'm in the middle of like writing for a new album itself, and not just letting that go by. I've put a lot of focus on other people. And now I want to put focus on my career again, mm-hmm. which is exciting.
Well, it's talking about your career. We're going to plug you. So where can they find your music?
So you can find me on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, all of those streaming platforms at Whitney Merritt. And it's M-E-R-R-I-T-T, two R's, two T's. And I have two albums out. It Ain't Easy. It came out. When did I get to Nashville? I think it was 2015 that mm-hmm. came out. And then 2020, I put out my second EP. They're EPs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Like the Wind. It has some certified bangers on her. You know, 100%. I don't like to toot my own horn, but sometimes I go back and listen and I'm like, this is good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
Billy is only for She Knows Guarantee. She'll say, can you put on Aunt Whitney's song? And I'm like, hell yeah, say less. We'll put it on.
Oh.
So what would you tell your younger self if she were listening to this?
Oh gosh.
You made it to Nashville. We're here.
I would tell my younger self, you don't have to take care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Your worth doesn't equal taking care of everyone, figuring everything out, being the peacemaker. And then also cut yourself a break when it comes to looks and weight.
Yes.
I've dealt with looks and weight my whole life. Still do, but I'm getting better at it. Like today, I mean, I still got my lashes on, but I don't have as much makeup on today. So yeah, I would just say like, just enjoy life because you only got one. And I need to tell myself that now too. So
I will say you do wear less makeup. Like I feel like you're more comfortable not wearing makeup around me mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
But I just wish you could see you the way I see you.
Well, thank you. You're
beautiful.
I'm working on it.
And last question for the episode is, what do you hope people feel about you after hearing this episode?
I just hope that I'm approachable. Like mm-hmm. I feel like I am an approachable. Sometimes I feel like people, sometimes like walking into my new job, I feel like maybe I have a resting bee face. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but sometimes I feel like people are scared to talk to me or like think I'm real serious, but I hope that people know that I'm approachable mm-hmm. and I'm sometimes going to say inappropriate stuff just for a laugh or be the loudest one in the room. But I mean well by it. I mm-hmm. just want to be fun and not take life so serious. I've had in the past few years, I've had to be serious a lot.
Yeah.
And I hated that because that's not who I am. It's never been who I am. Even when I was a shy person in middle school and high school, I didn't feel like I was truly myself. I was hiding behind that. Mm-hmm. So anytime it's like that, I'm glad I feel like I'm back at that stage where I'm like being my authentic self. So
yeah.
Yeah. If you ever see me out and about, say howdy.
But real loud, just like Minnie Pearl.
Yeah.
Howdy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being so raw and vulnerable and answering all these questions and just giving the listeners a little peek behind the Whitney Merritt curtain.
Yes.
And
if any producers out there want us to be on a reality TV show, I'm telling you, we would make good TV.
We really would.
We would definitely. And we have just the right amount of like morals, but also we could stir the pot a little bit.
Oh, definitely. We'll spill the tea.
Yes.
Stir the pot. And we're sweet till you piss us off.
Hey.
All right. Thank you. Thank y'all for listening to Spillin' the Tea.
Whitney Merritt and Liz Ent are co-hosts and co-producers.
The show is edited by Jeff Ent. Our theme song is sung by Whitney Merritt.
You can follow us on Instagram at @SpillinTheTea_podcast, Facebook at @SpillinTheTea, and TikTok at @SpillinTheTeaNash for all updates and additional podcast materials.
We want to hear from you, so be sure to send your comments, leave reviews, give us your ratings, and share us with a friend.
And most importantly, y'all come back now, you hear?